The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
What kind of crazy champion he would make, but that right there.
If I win the WWE Championship at Survivor Series, I'm going to turn this whole place upside down. We're throwing all the rules out the window. Ain't going to be no more suits. Ain't going to be no more time. More action. Less talking. I want more pyro. I want breakfast for dinner. We're going to replace Michael Cole with a fish tank. We're throwing all the rules out the window this Sunday at Survivor Series. I make the entire WWE the Ambrose Asylum.
Many months later.
He's cashing in! Ambrose is cashing in!
Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Ambrose is cashing in his Money in the Bank contract!
We got a championship match!
Okay. Rollins doesn't know where he is!
Ambrose! Dirty Deeds! Ambrose the cover! Kick out, Seth! Ambrose is champion! Ambrose is champion!
Beware, beware, there is a happy, scary champion in this world. And because of that, there is nothing left of Southern Ohio, since Northern Ohio was completely destroyed by the Cavaliers' victory. We are all happy and we are all a little scary here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, oh, VRM, are you, you done in there?
Oh, just a couple more, and there. Give it a try.
Alrighty, over here, and...
Yes!
Thank you. Thank God. I guess kicking Stapboy out at least let you get everything finished up.
Alright, I just gotta button this up. Alright. We're good back here.
Oh, thank you so much. I know that took a lot of your time.
Well, hopefully I don't have to do this again anytime soon.
I think we've got everything locked down pretty well. I mean, I've dug around in here and...
My bad!
Fuck.
Damn it!
Double check on that before you go. You don't have to stay all night this time.
On it.
All right. So while he's fussing with all of that, we'll start with my buddy in the Sunshine State, Chris Waters.
Before we get started fully on the show, I had a call recently. It was from somewhere in Orlando. Apparently, Miss Carter had passed out on Monday night around like 11:30 or so. We have found out she is fine. Her last words before she finally passed out were, "Senpai noticed me." Apparently, when she we saw that she had the WWE Network on her TV at the time. So.
Wow.
Oh,
so true. So true.
Oh, dear. Excuse me. That's a sick burn, baby. Ow. You got some aloe vera for that? Ow, man.
Hey, speaking of aloe vera, we're good. Derpy just fell outside. Outside.
Okay, good. Let's see. So, a man that next to the table, a man who's very hard to impress when it comes to insults and burns, that would be Jason Block.
Yeah, but I have to say, there are so many angles to this story, the stories that are happening this week, that it's just mind blowing how important they are, and to the significance of what happened this week. So we'll see.
Exactly. And our fourth at the table, how about that? Fourth.
And I've waited a long time, and I want to say that we have a man who went from being in a very terrible childhood, escaping watching the matches of Bret Hart, to wearing the WWE Championship on his shoulder, wearing a leather jacket like the man he grew up watching. So, Dean, if you're listening, you do deserve it.
He do. And when they said that this was to be the greatest Money in the Bank of all time, they weren't kidding. Then again, I might just be slightly biased due to a very happy, scary Dean and all of his happy, scary antics and pulling down the briefcase. And in a glorious piece of continuity.
Ding.
Yes, actually, continuity.
He
Sorry, I had to sing it.
No, you're fine. He cashed that shit in on Rollins. Because, think about it. I've been waiting 2 years for this opportunity. I mean, you don't get too many chances at the WWE Championship. I've fought Seth Rollins all over the world, and I fought him on all kinds of different platforms. I mean, we had a Hell in a Cell together. That was pretty messy. So we finally get some Money in the Bank, and I told everybody, you know, I'm going to win money. I'm going to be Mr. Money in the Bank. I opposed it to him on Raw. What if I win the Money in the Bank briefcase and then I cash it in that night? So, you know, if he wants to call me a coward and a thief and whatever, hey, I told him that I was going to do this, and look what I did. Looks pretty comfortable. Now, where's my fish tank?
He did have a cactus.
I fucking told you. That is like, bastard, I got you, you son of a bitch.
Exactly. Fourth, yeah, you mentioned that he's got a cactus to replace poor Mitch that showed up on the Asylum on SmackDown.
And the best part is he actually drew on the place card for Ambrose Asylum a little championship belt.
Along with a slightly, for some of us, there was a Street Fighter reference in there. But that wasn't the only awesome thing that happened. I mean, in the course of roughly 5 or 6 minutes, we had essentially a fast forward of each of the Shield members with the WWE title. Reigns walked out with it. Rollins beat him for it. Dean beat Rollins for it.
In other words, rock, paper, scissors, you know. Rollins can outsmart Roman. Roman can outpower Dean. But Dean can just beat the crap out of Rollins if he needs to. It's like a Mega Man game with the three of them.
Yeah. Power, speed, and chaos.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. The Double Geek. Pixel Nation on Spectre 1.
But it's true.
It is true. It is true.
We had that once in a lifetime deal with AJ and John Cena, despite the ending. Jason, I know you weren't keen on that.
No. But up to that point, damn, was that fun.
And Cena had already had some fun even before he walked out.
Yes.
Okay, fourth, we actually talked about this a couple of shows ago. John Cena actually got a cease and desist from Pabst Blue Ribbon for a shirt that he was wanted to have when he returned on Memorial Day.
All right.
Well, all he had to do was take the stripe and reverse it, and then had the shirts reprinted and then tweeted to them, "You can't see and D me."
To which they replied, "John Cena always kicks out at two."
Oh my god.
Meme confirmed.
Yes. You put it to you this way, the Pabst Blue Ribbon social media team has a good sense of humor. So yes,
John Cena does it again. Let's see. I better pull up the numbers from this mess.
And by the way, as we saw on Monday, Kevin Owens' spine is still alive and it will recover.
Yeah.
Now, oh my god! Oh, ow! Okay. I think I need to take a couple of Tylenol.
Enormous points to the rest of the guys in the Money in the Bank match. There was just some really cool stuff going on there, but damn, Kevin.
Yeah, I knew it was bad when someone referenced it by, if anyone saw The Simpsons where Bart and Homer were using the Big Brother program to outdo each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember at the end of the fight with Bart's Big Brother mentor, Homer was bent the wrong way on a fire hydrant. Someone actually posted that photo as a reference. It's like painfully accurate indeed.
I have a GIF somewhere of the setup that they did where they had the ladders kind of scaffolded off the corners and everybody was just brawling with each other. I properly captioned it, "Board-wide internet argument."
My favorite part of the match, and it was Owens trolling to a T, when he set up, I think it was Zayn, and he acted like he was going to like use a ladder, like a staircase, like Shelton used to do.
Yeah.
But then he just super kicked him.
Well, that's right. He ran up, and then he slowed down. He's like, whatever. Goes up and... Oh, come on. I gotta find this stupid GIF now.
Yeah, but excuse me. That's pure Owens dick move, and I love it. It's great. He's
vintage Owens.
Yeah, it's vintage Owens. He's so good.
Yeah, here we go. Let me show everybody that, because not everybody here is on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
A board-wide internet argument.
Yes.
So let's see. We had no surprises with the Rusev-O'Neil match.
Although Rusev is a magnificent bastard now.
Happy Father's Day.
They got us on the tag match. They definitely got us on the tag match and got most of us on the Divas match. The only wild cards that played was pretty much were two people calling the same thing. Chris, you and Brian both said that Ambrose was going to cash in that night.
Yep.
And I'm ashamed of myself for not saying that as well. But that's okay. To our final scores, as if Jim didn't have a bad enough week going, he's at the bottom of the pile.
Mm. By the way, Jim, if you're out there listening, hope you could recover well.
Yeah, we're praying for you, man. Let's see. Statboy just ahead of him at 4. Fourth, you tied with Cindy and VRM at 5.
Oh, good. The books aren't cooked. That's good.
No, but there's a skewing in here that I am going to have to point out. Jason, you, me, and Chris all tied at 6.
I'll take that. That's not bad.
Brian had 7, thanks to the wild card. But Brian didn't win. So, either... either our winner has just been very lucky at who he's picked, or the two gentlemen who work on these spreadsheets are kissing up to him. So, ladies and gentlemen, your Money in the Bank Fizzleweight Champion is our chief high muckety-muck, Carl Chenier.
Take that, Hittiger. Mine!
Nice!
Oh, God. Oh, mine! Just kidding. We love you.
Yeah, but nice job. Oh, that's good.
For the wild card, I completely went the other way. Oh, jeez.
It's all right, man.
I had it right, but I just had the wrong person.
Oh, man.
But I will take this in great stride, and see you later, suckers.
Don't go too far. Battleground's not that far away, and we already have a match booked for it. Even if things aren't quite going the right way, this week, awesome pay-per-view, and then the week just turned into a fucking roller coaster.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
So we get to Monday. We get to see Dean celebrate Jason, you said this, and I agree with you. This is the first time, I think, since Daniel Bryan, that we have had a mostly united crowd cheering a face champion.
Crazy, ain't it?
It just, but you know, it's awesome, and that's not just my bias speaking. Rollins, of course, comes out and complains, calls Dean a whole bunch of different names, and Dean is like, a cockroach. Hey, that's not an insult, man. He called me a cockroach. That's, you know, cockroaches are survivors. They've been on the planet long before we were here, and they're going to be here long after we're gone. So that's a compliment to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Heyman's new gimmick is Dana Ambrose.
Hey. So we had that, and then we had Roman come out, who was actually kind of civil. Still didn't look happy. But it wasn't just because he'd lost the belt.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going into it now, but it did seem weird the way he reacted to what the fans were chanting, as if it was a case of he knew that they weren't meaning what he thought or what he felt, but like poor choice of words or poor timing, you know?
Well, it's been a staple that, you know, if they're you know, not chanting Roman sucks, they chant that he can't wrestle. And he can. Just right now, as of right now, he's a few days into his 30-day suspension for being busted on the wellness policy. Horrible, horrible, horrible timing.
Yeah, the only thing that it surprised me is that they didn't do some way to just write him off of TV, but I'm guessing they wanted to get this Shield main event out there because they might have had it planned for before even Rollins was injured.
It's something that we were probably expecting more for SummerSlam, though, but
I have a theory of something that might happen for SummerSlam depending on who wins the match and who wins something outside of wrestling.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, Roman has gone on record and formally apologized. The story has gone to various news outlets. It was reported on WWE.com and it has spread like wildfire. This is the first time I've really seen a wellness violation get this much attention.
Well, if you think about it, it's pretty much, besides the Orton ones, which that was before they started to get more close with ESPN and everything, it is pretty much one of the higher profile, if not the highest profile, wellness that we've had in a while.
If ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, the guy was groomed for this spot for 3 years, and then this happens. It, you know that the internet was going to explode upon it.
And,
good, bad, or otherwise.
Oh, yeah. And the two camps are essentially, you know, the haters are all saying good riddance. You know, he's never going to sniff the main event again. Okay, first of all, you guys are blowing that out of proportion. I'll sum it in sum.
Bullshit!
I think that there, you know, if Randy Orton can get back into the main event picture, if Rey Mysterio can, you know, bounce in and out of B-card and the main event picture, I don't see why Roman will completely fall off the card.
I'm not saying he's going to fall off the card. I'm just saying he's not going to touch the main event belt at least to the end of the year, if WWE was smart.
And I think they're willing to do that, and I think, you know, I think Roman is willing to eat that shit sandwich. We know he's not winning at Battleground, and if they do this match again at SummerSlam, he ain't winning there either. Those that are siding with Roman want more information. What was he busted for? Because sometimes some guys get busted because they just don't have their paperwork in order. Ray got popped for not having his paperwork. Hornswoggle went on record that he got popped because he didn't have his paperwork. The only thing we do know is that it's not marijuana, because marijuana is just a fine.
Right.
It doesn't count as a wellness strike.
The real marijuana anyway.
Yeah, real marijuana at least. But his 30 days will conclude just before Battleground, so he is eligible. Some sites have reported that they knew about the wellness violation even before Money in the Bank.
Now, let's play that out, and let's assume that were true. Okay. Do you think Roman should have wrestled the match at Money in the Bank if that were true when they knew about it? Do you think WWE did the right thing in how they did it on Sunday?
Yes, because it had not been announced, so we didn't know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to add on that, I know Morrison and Belate Umaga, when they had their wellness suspensions, they stuck around long enough to drop the championships before suspension. And even William Regal, who wasn't champion but was in the midst of a big push, he lost the kayfabe loser leaves match to explain his suspension.
And then there was the whole thing with R-Truth around the Awesome Truth days when he got his suspension.
Right. But WWE's gotten smarter about when and how they report or announce the wellness violations, because I remember specifically when Morrison got popped. He was ECW champion at the time, and me and Ref Brandon went to a SmackDown ECW taping, and we knew that Morrison was going to have to drop the belt to Punk because of the wellness violation. So there's some lovely audio on this episode. As the match wears on, when Morrison has the upper hand, you hear, "You're suspended! You're suspended!"
Oh.
So, Meltzer talked about this, and he said that the call, the finish that was set up for Sunday was actually a late change. So we don't know if there if the wellness violation was tied into it, or if somebody just talked some freaking sense into Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking someone told him that apparently Ambrose has been really doing quite well. That even though he's on sort of the B house show circuit, he is one of the big reasons they have good attendance. So I'm hoping it's a case where someone said, if you want a face champion, you want a moneymaker, Dean's probably the best full-time draw we have.
I mean, he sells merch. Granted, he is not a social media presence. His Twitter account has exactly 3 tweets.
Although with some people saying certain things on Twitter at times, that might be a good thing for Dean.
Yeah. Well, even Dean himself, you know, they made me go to Twitter, whatever.
Enjoy.
Well, I mean, Dean had another one of those promos. He says, you know, he's like, you should be listening to me on the mic. I say, you know, he's had another one of those type of promos on Raw.
You mean like this?
You should listen when I have a headset, when I have a microphone. You should listen. I say important things. When I talk, people listen for a reason.
Yeah, that. And the suspension has actually changed the card I am going to on July 16th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is at the Garden. His defense was supposed to be on his first championship defense this weekend, was supposed to be a three-way against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Okay. Ambrose is now going to defend against Sellout Seth. And then Owens and Zayn are going to face off for match 42,629,005. Okay.
I would like to point out some meta.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The two of them had another wild brawl on Raw, and there was actually jokes. I don't want to say jokes, but there was. Discussion. You know, when the draft, you know, the announcers said, you know, if the draft comes up, I think the best thing that could happen to these guys is that they get separated. Zayn also mentions in a promo on SmackDown, is like, I'm not going to get anywhere else in this company if I don't leave Kevin Owens behind and start focusing on other people. So even the WWE is sick and tired of seeing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
No, they're not. But I understand what you mean, though.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Which actually, that's another good point. Reigns is not going to be around for the draft. That doesn't mean he can't be picked. I'd just be curious, you know. Actually, one of you sports-minded guys. Do I have a sports-minded guy on my panel?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Draft coming up. Hot prospect gets popped for PEDs.
Yeah.
How many rounds does he fall?
It depends on how much of a talent he is. Okay, if let's say, for example, and Carl, if you could get on for a sec, because Ben Simmons, who was from LSU, was the number one pick of the draft for the 76ers. For some reason, if he got popped for, you know, drugs or PEDs, he probably wouldn't even make it out of the first round, at least, I'm thinking.
So I'm just curious how they're going to play that, because I want to say the very first draft somebody actually did a pick for a wrestler that was coming back and hadn't been on TV in a while.
Yeah, I think it was Edge that was, and then he came back on that show and speared Bischoff.
Oh, no, I'm talking the very first draft when it was Vincent. That's the Bischoff and Heyman one.
Oh,
I'm
talking
the Vincent Flair one.
Yeah, what was that?
I think you're thinking of I think you're thinking of He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yeah, I think Benoit was the choice. And you can blame Kurt Angle.
That was McMahon pick.
But speaking of that, we don't even know if they're going to do the draft like they did the first one, or if they're going to do it like those random drawing ones that we had over the years.
I'd rather the ones that came from 2008 to 2011.
Yes, and I need to go dig around and find my draft tracks again.
Now, so Jason, you asked me on for something. What was it?
We were talking about a sports-minded thing. The idea that, say, because Ben Simmons was from LSU, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Nikki asked the question, say if Ben Simmons got popped for PEDs, okay? Mm-hmm. Would he have gotten out of the first round? Or would he even been drafted or what?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If it was anybody other than the 76ers, I would say no. But since it was them, yes. They're that desperate.
Yes.
They probably would have took him even if he did a serious crime.
I'm trying to apply Roman's suspension and the upcoming draft and looking at it from a real sports, and you can hear my air quotes, perspective.
I put in the chat my thinking. It was probably just a paperwork issue.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. And I also like, you know, I like the fact that Roman, you know, at least, you know, it, you know, manned up. You know, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
And if it wasn't a steroid, it was probably like an Adderall or something that's banned.
It could be something as stupid, and I've seen this in baseball, that a supplement that he took that had something banned mixed in the middle of it all. You know, where you don't read the whole list of ingredients.
I heard you could even get a violation for taking diuretics when they do the testing.
Yeah, because some diuretics have...
Yeah, even a water pill.
Some of those do have stuff that will show up on the tests. Also, fat burners.
Mm-hmm.
And certain diet drugs. Not just diuretics, but, you know, actual thermogenic stuff.
This is why they don't promote, like, Stacker products anymore.
Right.
And ICO Pro, whatever the hell it was back in the 90s.
ICO Pro.
You gotta want it.
I still hear jokes about that to this day. Now, Roman ain't the only one in trouble.
Ooh.
And this one isn't, I don't think it's going to affect the product as much. We had a arrest shortly after we went off the air last week of Jerry Lawler and his current fiance, girlfriend?
I think fiance, yeah.
Daughter? Fiance.
Okay. Sorry.
Wrong. Accurate, but wrong. I think she's 22 or something. Something like that.
Granddaughter, right?
I know there's a bit of an age gap, you know.
Just a little bit. The police were called to the Lawler residence after a domestic dispute. Both were arrested because they had conflicting stories over who did what, who said what. There was a gun involved. Thankfully, it was unloaded. Lawler was interviewed, and, you know, he gave his side of the story, and, you know, he sounded sincere. He doesn't strike me as someone who would abuse a woman, but I'd say the same for Adam Rose. Now, I haven't heard anything during the week, but all I know is that we weren't going to see him at the announce table this week, and I thought it was just going to be Morrow and Byron, and just watch Morrow talk circles around Byron.
No, instead he just talks circles around a lawyer.
That's hard to do, but David Otunga is way the hell out of his element. Because, go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, he's seen definitely, because the pre-show stuff he can handle, but when it was the play-by-play stuff, it was tough for him to really go over anything,
It reminds me of something that the experiment that happened during the invasion when they put Arn Anderson at the table.
Oh yeah.
Arn can read the phone book and make you care about everybody in it, but he can't call a match. And I think Otunga falls under the same deal. With Lawler indefinitely suspended, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that this might be the one straw that tells the king, please retire.
Yeah. I mean, 66, he's had a good run there, so.
And he still sneaks out and wrestles at indie shows.
Yeah. Well, then again, that just reminds me of a story I have to tell real quick. Some wrestlers just don't know when to quit. Like, the original Sheik one time had a heart attack in a taxi, recovered, and then went to wrestle the same night that he had the heart attack.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's just like, all the other stories. Sabu tore the hell out of his bicep in a barbed wire match, wrapped some tape around it, and said, let's go.
Damn.
I won't go into the Drake story.
Oh my god. I'll Google that later. I'll take your word for it for now.
Yeah. So, they're trying out Otunga at the table. I really think they should bring Renee in, or they should go ahead and get Corey Graves up, because he can do heel color.
and my dad hates him, and that's good.
And he does heel color kind of like Jesse Ventura used to do. He will give the faces props. He won't scream over everything all the time. And he'll even admit when the heels go bad, like this past NXT when Ty Dillinger lost. He said, well, he's no longer a 10 to me, he's down to a 5.
Ouch. But yeah, see, that's what we need. We need a more genuine heel commentator. And I, sometimes I find Corey grating, but that means he's doing his job. But he's not mute hate Michael Cole.
Cole's fine now. No, right.
Cole's fine. Cole's fine. I've just, his attempt at being a heel play-by-play guy just made him exceptionally punchable. And I'm just glad he doesn't do it anymore. So I think the announce table will be fine. I mean, it's a shame that's how Lawler gets, how Lawler has to walk away, but... Whoops. Sorry.
Ooh, ow. Ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. Okay. We had one of the other things that despite the chaos at the commentary table, we had some more chaos. We had some specific chaos on Raw. And I forget who said it, but somebody asked if Big Johnny was still in the neighborhood. And apparently it was short notice because he stole his suit from P.S. Hayes.
Don't do that. Hey, damn it. He caught me in mid-drink. That's not good.
Bless you. Anyway, hey,
Hayes was passing out a couple of suits. Remember what Byron wore on the pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah. God. It's a lime green. I was blind, man.
He keeps, and since he was sitting at the table, he could keep the batteries in his pocket.
Well, since the Jericho Jack's not using him anymore, you know.
Well, that's because Jericho can't use his jackets anymore, because that way it would be hard for you to bask.
Yeah.
Drink it in, man.
I'll stick to water,
man.
Oh man.
Yeah, drink it in, man. It's like the stoned ex rock star, man. Yeah,
and it's so perfect. He does it so perfectly, and it's almost scaring me.
I'm not sure.
You know what's catching on? Stupid idiot. It's catching on, and I'm like, oh fuck! And Jericho's going, damn it! I'm trying to be a heel.
I did see a stupid idiot section sign at one of the shows this week.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I like this Jericho with the vest and the scarf or just the scarf. I'm not sure which one makes him look more heel.
And I think there was a sign. There was a sign Monday night that said Jericho stole my cat's scarf. what else did we have Monday night? Oh, we had the return of the Wyatts.
Minus one, but he's still recovering.
Oh, Luke Harper's still working on the knee. That's no big deal. But a leaner, meaner Bray Wyatt, still in very good form from a promo perspective, and an interesting tease as he talks to the New Day. As apparently Bray makes good TV, and Xavier Woods is distracted by the creepy.
Yes.
Yes.
And on SmackDown, from what I've heard, I hadn't got a chance to watch SmackDown yet, I admit. Apparently, Bray was doing another promo, and the camera was focusing a little bit on Xavier throwing that.
They focused on Xavier a lot, because he gets that 1,000-yard stare and takes a couple of steps forward, doesn't say anything. Because normally, New Day is interrupting, you know, would interrupt this nonsense. Wyatt had made the comment, you know, you guys don't know what to do with your power. You have this power of positivity. What exactly are you doing with it? And normally Xavier would have a snappy answer, but this time he didn't.
Maybe Xavier's power of positivity isn't as strong as the Force, you see.
It kind of reminds me, this is kind of a weird connection, I know, but one of the earliest episodes of ECW I watched, there was a tag match. I don't remember all the participants, but I know one team was Tommy Dreamer and Cactus Jack, and on the other side was Raven. And Raven sat in the corner like he usually does, and then Cactus sat in the opposite corner, seemingly just staring him down. This was the night that Cactus turned heel on Tommy Dreamer. I think you can guess how.
Oh yeah. And this might even be a I don't want to say a pastiche, but a retread. But this time, you know, just let those lilting words from the slightly svelte Bray Wyatt guide you on your way.
Did you miss me? I love that line.
Oh my god. Yes, we missed you. And now that you've dropped about 40, 50 pounds, I can't wait to see this crab walk again.
Now, where do you think this is going to lead? Is Xavier going to be the newest member of the Wyatts?
I wonder if this is. I don't know if Xavier's actually going to join the Wyatts, but I think Bray is going to have him distracted enough that he is not going to be able to assist his companions, and we may end up with a Wyatts title run near or shortly after the New Day breaks the tag team title reign record.
I wouldn't mind that. It's kind of a shame it's not Luke Harper, because it would be kind of a going back full circle from the NXT days when Luke and Rowan were NXT tag team champions. But who knows what they can do with that.
Yeah, right. I mean, the New Day Freebird the championship, so if Harper's back at some point while they're still champs, he can...
True. Although I know at least one person I talked to, he doesn't appear on the show, but I know at least one person I talked to online would be kind of upset if we had tag team champion Braun Strowman, because he just doesn't like Braun Strowman for some reason.
Let's see. The other weird thing that happened Monday night, and this was much ado about nothing. Pictures started to surface after Money in the Bank of Paige being led into a vehicle in handcuffs. The internet being what it is, had a field day. I think it was a domestic dispute, fight with a fan. What other nonsense? There was a whole bunch of speculation about it.
And some on the other end of the spectrum, people are just saying it was something filmed for Total Divas.
Right. A lot of people. Some people said, "Oh, it's just work."
That's what I'm suspecting. Just because there was no report about it, and WWE didn't put any legitimate press conference, I'm suspecting they're probably going to do something because. I've seen the photos of her in Del Rio. They might have where something happened there, I had to guess.
So, according to Mike Johnson, officers were responding to an unrelated incident near Caesar's Palace Sunday evening when they were told about a woman who was running around in traffic. They responded and detained the female and determined she needed a medical evaluation. What? What's wrong with this goth looking chick with black hair, thick mascara, and a top that has a pentagram?
That's like normal for Vegas, isn't it?
I was gonna say, in any other town, I would understand this, but this is Las Vegas.
There are very few towns in this country that you could get away with that. New York, Hollywood, and Vegas. That's right. About it.
And that's how the fact that she was, you know, that she was detained for, if that's what she was detained for, I can confirm one thing. One of the officers on the scene was not Rico Constantino. We miss you, man, seriously. Let's see. It wasn't an arrest, or we would have a mugshot, because Smoking Gun is very good about that.
Yup. And TMZ, as we said.
Mm-hmm. So anything that, you know, whether it was, you know, whether it was a medical thing or if it was shot for Total Divas, Paige is not in trouble. In fact, she worked the following evening.
In a title match, nonetheless.
Yeah. Somebody got a mic pop in there.
Fourth, that might be you.
All right, I'll see if I can adjust some stuff. Hold on a sec.
I think we got it.
Yep. Okay.
Cool.
Let's see. If you didn't get enough AJ from the pay-per-view or from Raw,
he and the club will apologize to you.
That was the best segment they did.
And to the point that even Stone Cold apologized. Oh, wait. So, yes, while I am not a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, I watched this because I wanted to see how far AJ could go in talking about his career.
We got the answer.
We did. They, Edge and Christian were wrong. He was going to be allowed to talk about TNA, and he did. Now, he wasn't malicious shooty on the company, which is interesting.
For all the things that TNA have done, they did get his name out to a lot of the public in the first place.
That's true.
I mean, the closest he had before that, as we saw on clips in the promo package before Cena AJ, was a couple of matches here and there in WCW before they folded.
Right, and I might have actually seen one of those matches live. They didn't pick it. You know, he mentioned that he was not picked up during Invasion, and that I think when he was offered a developmental deal a little bit later down the line, he's like, I can't just up and move with my wife in college.
Right. Though, I do have to say, I did love the fact, because this is where I first saw AJ Styles, that they actually, and I didn't realize it until much later, anyway, they actually showed a clip of the Jacked / Metal match that he had against Hurricane during the whole interview.
Oh, they kept putting up old pictures of him, and he kept looking at them going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, this was me when I was younger and a lot cleaner looking back then.
Before I got what everybody keeps calling soccer mom hair. What do they mean by that?
AJ sounds like a pretty funny guy too.
And he was just so laid back in this whole interview. I mean, they talked about Dixie Carter, thus Senpai noticed me.
Yes.
Yes.
He put it in very plain terms. I was, they wanted me to take a pay cut, and I think you should be paid what you're worth. And unfortunately, TNA apparently couldn't afford what he was worth, because, to be honest, for TNA, he was damn near priceless.
and besides that, he wanted to work in a company with better catering.
Oh, that was a scream. He's like, this is the best catering I've ever seen in a company.
Did he actually say that? Really? Wow.
Well, given that 90%, I have never worked in indie that had catering.
No, excuse me. How many times have we had to buy the overboiled hot dogs? That the Boy Scouts had to. Oh God.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think the one time I had free food was in an actual backyard, literally in a backyard. Event where one of the wrestler's parents cooked for everybody.
Okay.
Yep. When we worked for Jimmy in Cincinnati, we had to, if we wanted food from the concession stand, we had to buy it. Sometimes he'd bring soda and beer for everybody afterwards. But more often than not, if you want food, you had two choices. You eat before the show, or you eat after the show. So, he joked about the catering. He talked about Japan and all the fun he was having. And that, a friend of a friend got in touch with Evil Boss Dr. Levesque, And the evil boss thought about it for a little bit, and he made a phone call, and they talked, and AJ, you know, went to his Japan buddies, and he says, "I got to take this. You know, I hate to leave everybody hanging, but I got to take this." And the response is the response I think any organization would give somebody who just got a call from the Fed. Go!
Dumbass, go, you idiot, go!
Don't apologize to us. Pack your shit. Get going. And take your buddies with you.
Yeah, now, but what I thought, Nikki, you had a great line about what AJ thought what the crowd reaction would be when he debuted. That was great.
Okay, yeah. Austin actually asked him, were you worried about the crowd reaction? He says, I was a little bit because I was going to go out there and I was afraid that I wasn't going to get any reaction at all. But then I remembered I was in Orlando. That helped a little bit.
I will say one thing that I know had to be missing from this podcast was the near legal battle based on TNA's allegations, but I know the only way that we would ever hear his full opinion of that would be in the event of a possible sale to WWE, so I knew we weren't getting that, but I did love what we did get.
Yeah, I mean, we still got quite a bit out of AJ, and he's just, you know, He sounds happy. He looks happy. He is happy. He couldn't be in a better place right now. And he knows that, you know, he's got to work even harder now because they're putting him in such a prominent position.
It's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, it was a very good interview.
It was. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Maybe watch it twice. Especially just to watch AJ's reactions for every picture they put up on the monitor behind him.
The most interesting is the thing about the whole TNA mentioning is not only that they got that mention them by name, that they actually somehow through Pro Wrestling Illustrated got pictures from TNA to put up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only time, unless they buy them out, that we will see the TNA titles on a WWE program, ladies and gentlemen.
No, yeah. I will say, if NXT had a house show the next day, based on the photo of Samoa Joe with the tattoo, I feel sorry for whoever he had to wrestle.
Yeah, that kind of shook me for a second that they were willing to pull up one of those pictures. Yeah, and you're right. Samoa Joe would not be happy. Although AJ probably told him, "Hey, you gotta make sure you watch the podcast." They pulled that up, and Joe sees that, and
Jesus.
You know. Oh, and by the way, mm-hmm. speaking of indie darlings, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We might finally maybe sort of have a date for somebody. Maybe.
Who, what,
sort of.
Where, who, what, where, when, why, and how?
Well, some guy named Brooks finally has a date for his debut almost 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Okay.
Yes.
Given that a dude from Minnesota basically announced his, like, within a minute of announcing he was going to have one, I think he knew he had to get going.
Right. And it's going to be at UFC 203 in Cleveland on September 10th, if his back holds. But, according to an interview he did, the reason why he's been out for so long is that he had a herniated disc in his back.
Hmm.
So, but he supposedly it has been fixed, and he is 100%, and we'll see where he goes from there. And that also ties into something that the UFC got supposedly got sold this week.
Yes, and maybe it was, and maybe, and the price would have been higher if Dana White would have at least kept his mouth shut 2 weeks ago. But $4 billion?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
$4 billion with a B, with a very hard B, $1 billion. Now, I didn't catch all the details on this. Is Dana still going to be involved in the day-to-day?
Yep. Yeah, Shit. He gets... Yeah, Dana, let me find the actual stuff around that. Yeah, he's still UFC sold. Yeah, here it is. This is from thecomeback.com, okay? Okay.
Have they been banned
this
yet?
This is from June 20th. Jeremy Bonner of Flow Combat reports that Zuffa LLC will sell UFC to a consortium totaling $4.2 billion. Okay. As far as who is involved, it's a result of a combination of four companies. Hollywood talent agency WME and IMG, one of the biggest, okay. A Chinese company conglomerate called the Dylon Wanda Group. A Chinese internet and mobile company called Tencent Holdings. And get this, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft and the Kraft Group.
Interesting.
Okay. And the new CEO, okay, is going to be... the head of Manchester City, which is a soccer club,
right,
called Gary Cook. Gary Cook is going to run the company. Now, Dana White owns 9% of Zuffa, so White could be looking at a $400 million payday. Holy shit! Okay. And the deal indicates that White stays on with UFC in his current role and will be given new shares in the ownership group. So not only is he there, he gets more power.
Yeah. Okay. A chunk of change and some stock. Jeez.
Uh-huh. And basically, it's not going to look like anything. So, excuse me. Dana White, you lucky bastard. No, not lucky. You really actually worked hard after. I mean, you know, we give you a lot of shit, but damn. You know,
you magnificent bastard, and we all want to borrow a few bucks from you.
Yeah, just do yourself a favor. You know, we know that you and the USADA have tested Brock more times than in the last 2 weeks than most wrestlers ever can test it in a lifetime. Holy cow! It's like they have Brock Lesnar. They have some guy following him with a cup. I mean, seriously,
that guy is so getting his ass kicked. That guy is so going to get his ass kicked. You think the doctor and the Fed got hurt?
Oh my god!
He'll only get his ass kicked if somebody pays Brock to do it, because Brock doesn't fight for free.
That's true.
But seriously though, you know, that's a pretty good deal for Dana White.
Yeah,
that's a huge deal for him.
Now, you and I talked briefly earlier today. What are all the question marks regarding Lesnar and SummerSlam?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay. Because isn't... with UFC 200 happening before SummerSlam...
Actually, even before the draft, too.
Hmm.
UFC 200 is July 9th. It's 2 weeks from Saturday.
Okay.
So, we haven't heard... Excuse me, we haven't heard dick on the TV, though. On the WWE TV. And I'm very surprised at this.
I'm not, because I have a feeling Brock's appearance is going to be based on how he does.
Ah.
So
because if he blows out this guy Mark Hunt, I believe his name is,
mm-hmm,
then the WWE is going to go full bore.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Which is what I'm thinking. If he does win, and wins a pretty well on the match, I'm thinking if... But let's just say for some miracle, they let Ambrose keep the title past Rollins and into SummerSlam. What better way to give Ambrose a challenge at SummerSlam than the guy that beat him at WrestleMania for the title and try to fix that up a little bit?
Heck, I wouldn't mind Lesnar in another SummerSlam bout that's a WrestleMania rematch.
I think I could spend $9.99 on that. So I think some of this is going to be based on what happened. You know, what we'll see what the SummerSlam plan is after UFC 200. Yes. And I've had a couple other things thrown on my desk here as we've been going on. Apparently the lines are open at the Runnels household.
Oh.
Thanks to our buddies at WrestleChat, WWE officials and Cody Rhodes have had some talks over the last few days. There's been discussion within the Fed about signing Rhodes to some kind of deal similar to a Legends deal that would allow WWE to release merchandise and other items with Cody's likeness. It's possible that WWE had merchandise planned for Stardust, perhaps through a third party like Mattel, and are offering Cody a deal so they can legally move forward with these plans.
Don't be surprised if we see Cody back within the fold after his indie dates. Do not be surprised.
Also, it's probably just to cover their butts when 2K17 rolls around, because they might have him already in the game and it's too late to cut him.
Possibly. And I think this is also a power play on his part that, okay, if we really want to do this, and if you ever want to use me as a wrestler again, I'm not going to be Stardust.
I definitely see that, because I know that while he wanted to see the character through, obviously the fact that WWE didn't want to end it, that's
right.
The final straw.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I dug his feud with Neville, who needs to come back soon and shave all of that ungodly hair off, man. Off your
you
face.
You hipster.
Yes. I mean, I understand you grew your hair out so that your bad ears didn't look like they stuck straight out. But the beard has got to go.
Jeez.
That'll be the swerve. It's actually Neville who's the new member of the Wyatt family.
The beard's not long enough quite for that. That would be interesting.
Here's the image of it that just came to mind with that. Braun Strowman standing in the corner. Neville climbs up to Strowman's shoulders, and he leaps off of Strowman's shoulders to do the red arrow.
Now that's air.
Yes.
Although, speaking of beards and speaking of the Wyatt family, and yes, that's a segue.
Oh, if this is the segue, I think it is. This is part of a certain open that's happening.
Well, yeah. The Cruiserweight Classic is underway as we record. We are not going to post spoilers because we actually want to see what happens. And actually, we want to hear what happens, because they have put together the perfect announce team.
Yes. May I?
Please.
As Howard Finkel might say, ladies and gentlemen, your announce team for the WWE Cruiserweight Classic, the team of Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan.
Say yay. Sorry, had to break that out.
First real gig since his retirement in February, right?
Yeah. And I wonder what got his arm twisted to do the commentary, because I know they offered that to him for NXT, for Fed, for, you know, whatever. And he kept saying no. In fact, he's probably said it 3 times. hi.
I don't know, but good for us. Then, if they, you're going to have two of the best brains on the microphone.
Yes, very much. You know, unironically saying yes. And I look forward to hearing that. I look forward to seeing this because, well, everybody digs cruiserweights.
And they got a unique look for the ring this time around.
Let's see.
I can pull up the picture again if you.
Well, I've got the pic that Hunter posted on his Twitter where he's in the control room.
And I'll put the picture in the chat of the ring again.
Okay.
Well, that is beautiful. It's kind of. That the whole venue actually has kind of Lucha Underground feel anyway.
Yeah.
Not quite the look, but the feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought back the WCW style turnbuckle pads.
Yeah.
And look, they even brought in a cruiserweight ref. Oh, sorry, little man.
Jeez.
Because I could be a real smart ass and say, yeah, the only refs that are allowed to ref at the Cruiserweight tournament are Little Nate, Zapata, and
Drake Younger.
Yeah, and Drake. And even then, I'd feel nervous for the wrestlers if it was Drake.
But what was very interesting is they're taking the weight limit really seriously at 205. They really are.
It's my understanding somebody got bounced.
Yes. Someone got bounced for not making weight. That's true. If you want me to find out the name, I can do that.
If you got a minute.
Yeah, sure. Let me do that.
While he looks, I also read something interesting. I didn't see who won and who lost in a match, but apparently when they announced the winners, they're doing it UFC style instead of the normal WWE style for it. So they're really trying to make this thing as unique as possible.
Awesome.
Oh, when I do that, I have some interesting. Actually, this is a double geek sort of move. When I find it. Oh yes, here it is. Mustafa Ali replaced Zumbi because he did not legitimately make the weight of 205.
Okay. Hmm.
Now, anybody here know of a company called Loot Crate?
I've heard of it.
I have an idea.
Okay. WWE is now partnering at the licensing expo that they've signed a deal with Loot Crate that will see the company create a bi-monthly subscription mystery box service.
Ooh.
Now, what that will happen, and I'm a subscriber to their thing, so I might do it. Okay. Basically, you're going to, they will put unique WWE items in a mystery box.
Hmm.
For subscribers. I think people will buy this.
Especially if it's at $9.99, Michael.
No, I think it was like $14.99 or something like that.
And that's not horrible either.
Nope. But yeah, it's very, very, very cool. So yeah, so the cruiserweight is good. Well, speaking of another Paige, you know the woman? Remember the UFC person who they wanted for SummerSlam, Paige VanZant, the female?
Yeah.
not happening because she's actually fighting the same night on a UFC fight night card.
Okay.
So nope.
And speaking of people not showing up, WWE has been reaching out to several veterans to pepper the roster as we're coming up on the draft. Cross Kurt Angle off the list.
Oh, man, really? What happened?
Apparently, let's see. Any speculation that many former WWE stars have been approached with returning to the company due to the upcoming brand split, the possibility that Kurt Angle could have been one of those talents got some fans excited. Unfortunately, that will be an unrealized dream. Angle had mentioned on Mark Madden's Pittsburgh radio show that Hunter had called him, but no deal was in place. But that's enough to get the rumor mill spinning. But apparently, there has been no communication since, so Angle is not going to be returning to the Fed.
For now.
Meltzer commented that, yes, Kurt Angle was contacted by Hunter. They didn't agree to anything. Angle expected it would lead to something. People in the company expected it would lead to something. And then somebody decided that it would not.
Who are you thinking, Vince?
I'm not 100% sure who. Because if Hunter's calling him, then obviously Hunter was interested. Vince might have put the kibosh on it in case a lot of Angle's police records, which are quite public.
I would imagine probably factoring in Angle's health too, because I know Foley did not pass the screening a few years ago with the proposed feud with Ambrose, and I know that's why Christian is essentially retired, so I don't know, maybe all of Angle's past health issues probably would have disqualified him from a return, even if they wanted to do something.
Yeah, that I would also believe, because I don't, Angle has continued to bust his ass. He's like Daniel Bryan in the respect that he doesn't have a different gear. He's a balls-to-the-wall kind of guy, and his body is not going to be able to keep up.
Especially since he's pushing 50 now, so...
Yeah, he's 47.
Angle is 47?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. He does not look 47. Okay.
Yeah, just give him some time to age. It happened to Ric Flair, after all,
Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true. I also heard the rumors that MVP was contacted, Tommy Dreamer was contacted, a couple of other names I heard.
I heard Shelton was contacted.
I'd love to see him back. But he wouldn't be complete without Charlie Haas.
But you didn't like the gold standard days?
No, I like Team Dork.
But we already have Team Dork. It's called American Alpha.
Maybe that's why Shelton didn't get called back.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Serious, though, I wouldn't mind if Shelton were to lead a Team Angle-like faction with American Alpha. I think it would work, at least from the wrestling standpoint.
Actually, there you go. I'm all for that.
And he could be the counter to Paul Ellering now with his new team.
Yeah, with those monsters.
Yeah.
The Authors of Pain, yeah.
So, yes, bring American Alpha up, and I want them to come out to Kurt Angle's music. I don't care. It's Jason Jordan is Black Kurt Angle, and Big Cass is Test.
Oh, dear.
Now, Big Cass has more moves than Test ever did.
Granted, but he gives off a late 90s test vibe to me.
Oh, speaking of that, how much doofus was Big Cass, Shane McMahon, and Enzo with the sneakers and the running around and doing the steps? Oh my God.
Oh man, that was loved hilarious.
It. Absolutely loved it. And the fact that you had to see how much ups Shane had to high five Big Cass.
Because and you can't teach that.
Oh, and what was also funny was on Raw when the people of New Day actually were, I don't know if it was last week or this week, when they were getting upset when they were busting on Kofi for wearing the Steph Curry's, you know, geriatric sneakers. You know,
I was like, are you guys trying to gain or lose a sponsor doing that shit?
Yes.
Which, you know, what's up with the shoes?
The geriatric fives, you know. Jeez.
Damn.
The aloe vera burned, yes. But,
but yeah, they. But, oh, so I think we've covered. I know we've covered everything I had on my sheet. Is there anything else we need to take a look at?
Well, there is one grand 20-year anniversary that we probably should bring up.
Ah, yes. As of this recording, tonight is the 20th anniversary of the birth of Austin 316. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
The promo that that I think launched the Attitude Era, or at least launched Austin.
Mostly launched Austin, because he still had to go through that weird pre-show match with Yokozuna at SummerSlam that year.
Oh,
but.
God.
I actually think it is actually one of the most seminal moments in history, actually. Because at that point, all the promos were formula, you know, let me tell you something, brother, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it was a realistic promo, and it just launched. It changed everything. It changed everything to me.
To me, the best part, and it showed how in the moment Austin was. If you watch the original cut, you can hear him stop just to say to a fan heckling him. He goes, "Piss off," and it's like. That just, it was brilliant, everything, including that little snippet to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed a touch of Austin's character there, because he was the first king of the ring not to wear the crown and cape.
No, that wouldn't work on him. Then the following year, the evil boss did it the first time. And reprised it a dozen or so years later.
Although he modified it a little bit.
Well, his Conan bit from 22. The water bottle man. The water bottle ruined the whole freaking image.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, then he couldn't carry a chalice. It wouldn't work as well, you know.
And the people would expect it to be filled with a red viscous liquid.
Right.
See, I know it was tough to top last year, but I wish he did something this year in regards to a crown, even if it was him, well, carrying some more Terminator skulls. It would have just been awesome.
He did, but Stephanie stole it from him.
Yeah. Now, she was in France this week.
Oh, that explains why Shane got away with so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was at the Cannes Film Festival, actually. The Cannes Lion Festival.
Well, she got them. She's got some nice can.
Hey.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. But no, yeah, that's yeah. Oh, and Miz you are such a Hollywood dick. Seriously.
Isn't it awesome?
Yes. Hey,
he needs quail, okay? He needs the protein. Quail
protein? Really?
Oh, my God. You can tell he loves it. He loves this gimmick.
Oh, he lives the gimmick.
Yeah. Duh.
And he lives with and he lives with the accessory to the gimmick, right?
And he should just bring back his old one of his old catchphrases: "Be jealous."
And meanwhile, in another thing we forgot to mention. Couple of women things I wanted to mention on the show that I thought we were going to mention earlier.
Oh, what'd I forget?
Well, one, we forgot that for some reason they decided Natalya was not doing it as face. So, random heel turn out of nowhere, because Becky Lynch is apparently the new Sting, ladies and gentlemen. And then, the boss is back.
Yes.
And Dana Brooke is still trying to recover her jaw after the punch, but
yeah.
I just wanted to mention those two things real quick.
No, I guess it's just the fact that it's going to take me a while for me to get my eyes to stay on the women's division. Mm. And this random heel turn from Natalya. Let's see. Excuse me, I'm checking on something here. Okay. But yes, it's good to see that the boss is back. I will admit I'm thoroughly underwhelmed with Dana Brooke.
That's because she hasn't busted out a lot of her character that she did in NXT right there.
It's coming.
Although I did like the fact that they had Paige pat her head in a subtle reference.
So. And I reiterate. I still want that fish tank.
It's coming. Don't worry.
Actually, I think somebody joked that the fish tank was in the trunk of the taxi from Monday night.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else. Yeah, I think we should go ahead and bottle all this up. Fourth, do you have anything to promote?
Other than Typho's show, just that I intend to get I don't know if we do very many plugs of books, but I intend to get James Dixon and Justin Henry's Titan Screwed, because I've heard good things about it, and I'll let you guys know if I like it when I get it.
Yeah, I'd be interested, because I've read Titan Sinking and Titan Shattered.
Ooh.
Which you can get on Spectrum1.net, and it can help us with our costs. Hint, hint.
Would you like to take it from here, sir?
Why, sure. Hey, Jason.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Which show would you like me to plug first?
Before I begin with the show, I do have to mention there's a couple of anniversaries today on the 23rd of June. 20 years ago tonight, Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass."
Mm-hmm. Which we spoke of.
And for Jason, the plug I'm about to give him here, 25 years ago today, a little blue fella that zooms around and spin dashes called Sonic made his debut in the North America. And that brings us to Pixel Nation.
Yeah, we are getting closer to episode 150 in Retro Show number 3. You know, last episode, I believe, is being edited. We're going to hold off on 150 due to, of course, IRL, the dreaded three-letter words. I will also talk about, let's talk about Red State, Blue State. No show this week because our good buddy Jim is recovering from what he's recovering from. You know, we will talk about a lot of stuff, including what just happened. And boy, did England decide to live the middle finger of fate to Europe. They said, goodbye, Felicia. The UK has voted to leave the European Union. Just called by the BBC right now. Okay. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the sit-in that just happened, a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to get off heads, and I'm going to leave now. Thank you, guys. And you, Carl, you plug the rest, okay?
All right. Good night, buddy. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, BS Big Show. We finally got one recorded this past week with myself, Cheek Alexander, Vieira, Cindy Sardoman, Jessica Brin. Jason popped on very late. We had to recap 2 months worth of news, the draft, the Will Smith situation down in New Orleans where he got killed back in April. More Peyton's retirement, what he's going to be doing in the fall. Probably not much. Hint, hint. Next one coming once Jim's back in the fold. And speaking of which, for Touch 'Em All, I'm not sure what we're going to do at this point. We might get a guest host for next time, or we'll just wait for Jim to come back. And of course, you can hear everything before I get to Chris on his plug. Spectrum1.net, when we have our wonderful sources, of course, with iTunes, Google Play Music, Overcast, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, and of course, TuneIn Radio app everywhere. Chris.
Yes, and I got a show called Paper Review that's going to be part of it, if my recordings actually cooperate for once. Yeah, I'm sorry, Nikki, we're going to have to watch Super Clash 3 again sometime.
God! Jeez.
Yeah. At least we have the opening match that keeps us happy, but... but, yes.
The Rock Rumble, yeah.
Well, that wasn't part of Super Clash 3, unfortunately. But... Yes, Paper Review, where Nikki Heyman, myself, and whoever we can drag into the table, we commentate over the pay-per-views and Saturday Night Main Events and Clashes of the Champions, and just give thoughts so Nikki can learn about the history and shake her head at some of the craziness that some other companies have done over the years, and sometimes even the Fed has done over the years.
And in the case of Super Clash, this is not a spoiler. Some things in the wrestling business never change.
This is not a...
That's not a spoiler.
And of course, Specrus will be getting that going again soon. So, that's it for me. Anybody else?
I don't have anything else because I'm right here. I am just happy that I have a soundboard back, and I am happy to have Forth back on the panel. You need to be here more often, please.
I will, yes. Thank you.
And we're going to get your mic fixed.
I hope so.
But yeah, I has a soundboard. I has good people talking good stuff about this wild and crazy sport that we call wrestling. So... For Jason Block and VRM, who have already left for the evening, for Carl Chenier, for Chris Waters, and for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. And do definitely come back and see us. So, in the meantime,
stay pony, my friends.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.